Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the Power Hour. So good to be with you. One of the things I did not announce earlier, and I've kind of debated whether when to announce it, I think now is the appropriate time. Anita Hodge is waiting, and I'll introduce her. Charlotte Iserby, if you know her, and her work on the educational system is legendary. I mean, if you're going to write a list of the top five most important books to the truth movement over the last, lifetime, number one is None Dare Call Conspiracy. Somewhere behind that in the top five would be Creature from Jekyll Island Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte. Maybe even Back to Basics by Charlotte, even the short little booklet she did and her work. Education is very important. She's had a stroke. She is in the hospital, and she needs your prayers and your attention. She's, she's about 90 years old. She's been under a lot of stress lately, especially with her son. Just wanted to tip our hat to her, and ladies and gentlemen, please pray for her. And it's an honor. It's also a tip of the hat to Anita, what she's done, that I'm introducing her now, even though this may seem kind of awkward, because Anita has picked up that gauntlet and is really, we're all in some level working off Charlotte's research and some of the things that have been done. Anita Hodge is a lecturer, educational researcher. She's a parent. She's been involved with the educational system for a long time. She's a writer, newswithviews.com. You can check out her articles under /author/Anita. She was instrumental. She was the main researcher for the book Educating for the New World Order. Educating for the New World Order. Extremely important. Excited to have her on. Anita, welcome to the Power Hour.
Gee, thanks for asking me, Daniel. We have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. Why don't you, our audience is really not familiar probably with you or your work. Why don't you introduce yourself and, what got you interested in education?
First of all, I wanted to say that Charlotte and I have worked on education issues for a very long time, and I'm really sorry to hear, about her, and we should all be praying for her. So I got involved in education when my son came home from school and said there was a weird test that he had taken, and it turned out that the Pennsylvania Department of Education was doing exploratory testing in the area of attitudes, values, beliefs, and dispositions. So actually just, he was a very bright student. I asked him what type of questions were on the test. He said, well, you couldn't answer them. And I said, well, give me like an example. And his example was, if you saw an old lady standing on the side of the street, what would you do? Throw rocks at her or push her down or whatever. So I did become alarmed. I asked to see the test. I was writing a grant for the school district at the time, and the superintendent said we weren't going to be friends anymore. And it just kind of snowballed into, I wasn't going to let this rest. I wanted to know what was going on. So, I inquired. I went through all of the different stages of writing letters and going to my congressman. And then basically I filed a federal complaint against the Pennsylvania Department of Education. 4 years later, I did win. And the Pennsylvania EQA, it was called the Educational Quality Assessment, had to be withdrawn. Background on the test, the EQA in Pennsylvania was the model for the National Assessment of Educational Progress. They refer to it as the NAEP. And what the NAEP did and what the Pennsylvania EQA did was test and score the attitudes, values, and beliefs of our children. So as I was going through this process...
Hold on. Explain, what do you mean? The testing, putting a value number to their different beliefs? Explain what you just said. That was a very provocative sentence.
Okay. So what the state was telling parents was that they were testing self-esteem. They were testing citizenship. They were testing how to get along with others. And it all sounded so great.
It always does.
Don't you want your kids to be honest? Don't you want them to have ethical judgment? And everyone said yes. Okay. But no one asked the question, how do you test and score attitudes and values. So what we were doing, it was a psychological test that had 350 questions on attitudes and values and beliefs, 30 questions on math, and 30 questions on reading analogies. So almost the entire test was a psychological test. I do have the test, and I also have the scoring. So what I did when I filed my complaint, I freedom of information my own complaint, and I received the evaluation for each of these areas. For example, instead of testing what they called citizenship, they were testing, and of course this is very scientific, but they were testing the psychological notion of threshold of when you would change your behavior. So at what point by reward and punishment would you obey? And it was really very controversial. Under self-esteem, they were testing locus of control. Were you internally influenced or externally influenced? Would you go along with your friends? If your parents would ground you, would you obey? So the whole idea was that the government was collecting information, data. So they would use this data to actually develop curriculum. Another thing that the test did was they collected all of this background information. How many books in the home? What did your father do? Did he go to college? Did your mother go to college? Do you own a computer? On and on and on. So it asked all these basic questions. So what they did was the curriculum that would be developed to change attitudes and values would be used to target a specific population. So they would ask, was your dad skilled, semi-skilled professional? Did your mother work out of the home? So they would correlate all of this information and do algorithms in order to pinpoint what would be the best type of curriculum to bring into your school. Now, when I found all of this information, through the records that I had received back from the Freedom of Information, it said that depending upon the sophistication of your school district, whether they would tell you that they were even doing the test. So you would have, you know, some areas where they would just give the test. When I asked teachers about it, teachers were really kind of put in the dark. They would just said, oh, that's that stupid test the state gives, you know, every other year or whatever. So no one really thought anything about it. So it wasn't until this situation came up with my son that I demanded to see it. I was refused access. I was refused everything, in fact. And that's why I filed the federal complaint. Now, the test was withdrawn in 1990, and that was the exact time outcome-based education was brought forward. Now, outcome-based education is the old label and term for Common Core standards that are being used now. So as my complaint was resolved at that time, I began lecturing across the country, and also the book came out, Educating for the New World Order, which is my story about how I found what the government was doing to children in our schools, collecting data on psychological profiles of our children. So during this period of time, I mean, I spoke all over the country, probably over 36 states. I would speak to legislatures, everything. At any rate, what I did was I developed these five magic questions. And what it did was made parents begin to think about what really was being measured. So when I said, if the state is saying they're going to test ethical judgment or responsibility, let's ask these questions. Number one, how do you measure that? How do you measure something that is subjective, arbitrary? We live in the United States. How can you say that you can test and measure the beliefs and dispositions of children? Number two, how do you score it? I have the scoring for these tests. The scoring was all geared toward collectivism. So,
what do you mean by that? Meaning that if you gave a collective answer, you get a better score, or if you gave a non-collective answer,
exactly,
you get a worse score. What do you mean?
Well, let me give you an example. One of the test questions was, there's a secret club called the Midnight Artist. They go out late at night and paint funny sayings on buildings. You would join the club when you knew, number one, your best friend asked you to join. The state desires response was yes. You got 1 point for yes. You got 0 for no. So if you said zero, if you said no, you wouldn't go out and vandalize. That was a behavioral weakness, because you weren't going along with the group.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have the test, and I have the scoring. So, but there was one question that for a long time I kept saying, I don't understand this, until you go back and read the objective, which was by reward and punishment, what they would decide what was the desired response. So in that same question, the third request was, would you join the club when your parents would ground you if they found out you joined? The state desired response was no. I kept thinking, why would the state, if they were geared toward collectivism, want you to obey your parents? But that's not what they were looking for. What they were looking for in the objective was
obedience.
Would you obey if punishment was incurred?
Yep. And let me pause you right here for a second, because I mean, this has been an amazing 10 minutes here. The amount of information you put out has been stunning. I want to go back so we don't get too lost in this later in the interview and kind of ask you just a couple questions. Just quickly answer a couple things with this. You said I think it was a superintendent, you said, told you couldn't be friends with them anymore. What did they mean by that? Why did they tell you that?
Well, I was in a very good relationship with, and it was a woman. And basically, I was writing a grant for the district. And when I said I wanted to see the test and I demanded it, she picked up a book and actually threw it across the room. And she said, you and I aren't going to be friends anymore.
What was the book?
And you cannot see this test. Okay. What? So that's where my whole battle began.
Whoa. What was the book?
I don't even know.
and she said, you can't see the test. I mean, right. Did you get the feeling like she had some secret agenda that she didn't want you to know? I mean, obviously that's what I would think.
I have no idea. I think she was trained in these types of
to deal with you, to deal with parents like you. Yeah, to deal with parents like you. You know, when you're instituting this, Mrs. Superintendent, you got to look out for these do-gooder parents who want to ask these questions. If you hear this question, you better run. That's probably how they trained her.
Well, that's true. And whenever there are different buzzwords, for instance, they'll say, oh, we want to teach your kids higher order thinking skills. Okay. Or higher order thinking skills. Well, if you go back to the scientific research of Bloom's taxonomy, higher order thinking skills is what is called beyond text. So that means you're not testing comprehension. So you give a kid a story, and if you ask something about the story, that's comprehension. But if you ask something beyond what is written, that is a psychological profile.
Okay. Meaning, you're asking them to deduce something or come to a conclusion or basically an opinion about the situation. So when they come to an opinion about the situation, then they judge that opinion and grade it, which is, again, another arbitrary thing, but it's telling something about the child. Would that be accurate?
Exactly. Let me give you just a short example. There's a terrible storm. This is fourth grade. There's a terrible storm. The child awakes and is afraid. The child walks down the hallway to the parents' room. The door is closed. Number one, what would you do next? Would you sit down on the floor in front of the door? Would you open the door? Would you go back to the room? Would you go back to the room and cover your head with your covers? Okay. So what they're doing is getting to know the beliefs of the child, the dispositions of the child. And these are being scored to what they call a criterion. Did it meet the objective or did it not?
So it has nothing to do with reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, this has nothing to do. Nothing.
Absolutely not. And it's called beyond text. You can't go back and get the answer in the story. You have to tell your opinion, your value judgment. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? So these are all things that they're called thinking skills, okay? And of course we want our kids to think, and of course we want them to be able to go on and do as many creative things beyond text as possible, but let's not score them, right? So this is where we are. This is where I'm coming from as far as what I was exposed to at the time. Now, at that same time when outcome-based education was coming out,
pause right there. We've heard that a lot. Charlotte Iserby has talked about this on the show numerous times. Alk Skinnerism, outcome-based education. And at first glance, or when people hear, okay, it's outcome-based education. Oh, you mean you want a certain outcome, so that's what you base your education on. Well, that sounds good. I want a good outcome. What's wrong with that? Define outcome-based education, and why is it alarming?
Well, outcome-based education is based on behavioral objectives that is actually scored to a criterion. So it really doesn't have anything to do with basic math, basic reading, blah, blah, blah. So they want a behavioral answer. So let's go back to my five magic questions. How do you measure it? How do you score it? Who decided what that was going to be, what the criteria? Who was it that made the scoring? And do parents have a right to say no? Okay, so let's go back and talk about them. Getting along with others, having a good character, ethical judgment. So at that point in time when we were, and Charlotte was also, we were all like out all over the country telling people what to look for. They were all things that were behavioral objectives. So at that point in time, the Department of Labor came out with a report called the SCANS, C-S-C-A-N-S, Secretary's Commission for Achieving Necessary Skills. So the Department of Labor came out with a profile of what the future worker would look like. And in that criteria, it said, we only want functional literacy. So immediately what was happening, and especially with things like Common Core, you had a dumbing down process. So it's all geared to the average. So that was the first criteria. And all the rest of the criteria were what is called, it was in the affective domain, which is the psychological mental health part of the child, the attitudes, values, beliefs. But in the criteria that the SCANS put out in the Department of Labor, they referred to your kids as human capital. How much worth or worthlessness is your child to the economy? And that's what assessment is. Let's go back and talk about the test that my son took, the educational quality assessment. Assessment is the value of property. Think about when your taxes are assessed.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So basically, this is what we're talking about. We're
Anita,
talking
that
about
just,
assessment.
My, that, you just clicked something in me. Oh, my gosh. That assessment is what you get on your freaking taxes on your property.
Exactly.
They assess the value. Oh my, that was like a gut punch, what you just told me. And I'm sorry. We got about a minute and a half. We got about 2 minutes before the break. So just continue. I just wanted to bring that out to unbelievable. Continue on.
Well, and see, the whole agenda is collecting the data, creating profiles, assessing what worth you are, or like I said, worthlessness you are to the economy. So the whole agenda is hand in hand with the Department of Education, the Department of Labor, but also Health and Human Services. Okay, because we have found now that there is a new implementation part of the mental health in scoring and identifying children who have a mental health disability. So now HHS is very much involved, and again, it's very scientific, and it's very, very disturbing, because Common Core has now developed into not only this functional literacy, but they've now gathered all of this psychological data, and they're now calling it new names: social and emotional learning, grit, emotion regulation. These are the things that are being pushed in the schools today. And it all is coming in under the umbrella of mental health and social and emotional learning.
So quick question. Quick question, because we're about to come on break. I'm hearing all, I mean, I'm already so, have such disdain for public education or government schools. If you're a parent and it's 2020, I mean, do you dare trust your children to this system right now?
Get your kids out. You need to get your kids out. It's
stay tuned.
And we can work in very hard.
Hold on.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oil of Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877 817
9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Good for you. Food stores, I love to eat. Yum.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
We have some new products over at the Power Mall from Good Health Naturally, which is one of my favorites, Robert Redfern. The Astaxanthin. I know I'm not pronouncing it right, but with his English accent, that's the best I can do. Astaxanthin with DHA. Also, essential digestive enzymes. You need the enzymes. Your body needs enzymes to go along with CR peptides and all that. The Hyzorb Q10 for your heart, also your brain. And the vitamin E, the full spectrum tocotrienols that you need to protect your cells. So you protect the membranes created by the cod liver oil and the phosphatidylcholine really supports your membrane. The vitamin E is like the guard dog to support this. And this is essential right now with the virus because the virus looks for ACE inhibitors or ACE receptors, to latch onto. So if your cell membrane is healthy, there's not many of those receptors. That's why your lungs is usually where that happens. That's why it attacks your respiratory. The coronavirus attacks respiratory. So if you protect your cells and neutrify them with the vitamin E, the cod liver oil, the phosphatidylcholine, you're going to be much less susceptible to any kind of coronavirus. That's what so says Dr. Sherry Rogers. Very important over at the Power Mall, these products. Of course, we do have colloidal silver, the Optivita silver, oreganol, Purely C, bone active, black seed oil, orega rasp, orega spray. You can, instead of spraying toxic chemicals, you can spray orega rasp on, the handle on the grocery cart or whatever. Collagen Power Plus, Chaga Max. Chaga is being used in China right now to fight coronavirus. Okay. There you go. Is FDA going to sue me now because I said that? That's what I'm saying. Chaga is being used right now to fight coronavirus in China. Orega Dent for your teeth. Of course, the Strauss Heart Drops, the cinnamon, the regular flavor, the Cardio Calm, and the Kidney Support Happy Bodies Detox Cocktail. It's fantastic. It tastes good. You just put it in water, put a scoop in water, and you're getting your glutathione, your alpha-lipoic acid R, other things, your detox. If you're not detoxing with this, how are you detoxing? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Of course, vitamin E, vitamin D3, all those. Prostrex from Global Healing Center, Oxy Powder, great way to detox. All at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. And I'm telling you about that, you can, whatever, take it for what it's worth. The colloidal silver, these lawsuits are starting. Where is it going to go? I have no idea. If it were me, and this is what I've done, so you want to know what I do? I get extra. I told you about the toilet paper 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't I? I'm telling you about the colloidal silver now. It may not happen now, But you can see the door opening and what they want to do here. So we got to be able to stop them. And one of the ways we stop them is by our dollars and our mind, our intention. So thepowermall.com, buy from the good guys, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Now we'll get to our guest, back to our guest, Anita Hodge. The News with Views is where she writes, newswithviews.com/author/Anita, and then you can see her work. And the book is Educating for the New World Order, which is so important to understand this. And it's very nuanced and it's very complicated, as you can kind of see. I talked to my wife is listening, and I talked to her during the break, and she's wanting to understand some particulars. So we'll get into those. What does this mean? Anita set the stage beautifully. We do have a caller. We want to get the caller, Mike in Connecticut, to ask his question, and then we'll go forward from there. Mike in Connecticut, you're live on the air. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon.
I was initially gone. First of all, I'd like to thank you for letting me in here, but I just got the telephone number yesterday on a rebroadcast of the Power Hour, and I hadn't been sure what the number had been. Anyway, calling in, I thought when I started listening to the show about 20 minutes ago, that I'd ask if the system of assessment or evaluation used in childhood testing was similar to that used for testing U.S. government employees, and then I think I had part of my question answered, but in general, I'm wondering if there's a new general system of evaluating people and the types of responses they're supposed to give to this New World Order system on the basis of essentially a kind of Marxist system of evaluating everything in economic terms of usability.
Did you say usability or feasibility?
Well, like utilitarianism. In other words, if a person has some use, does that place them on a social ladder within society? Or is everything judged according to whether it has a value, you know, like a monetary value or a utilitarian value?
Right.
Are we all basically kind of like commodities walking around with our shoes on, or are we being viewed in a kind of totally non-human fashion? I know the question is awfully broad.
All right, let's stop there. Let's just stay right there a second, Mike. It's a great question, but it is broad. So, Anita, start anywhere you want to with that question and start tackling it.
Well, understand that the data that is being collected is going to be used against you. So if you begin at first...
What does that mean? Anita, what does that mean? Going to be used against you? What does that mean? Because I know people are sitting at home. Yes. Used against me how? What is it? What do I care if my child sits outside my window or outside my door when the door's shut or not? Or what do I care?
Well, okay, for children, it's going to be reward and punishment. So there's even phone apps now that are observing and recording students as far as what their behavior is. Now, what is happening is your behavior will be coded. Now, in schools, it's going to be coded with DSM codes, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. And the whole agenda is that these codes will determine what you can do in the future, okay? So, you know, if you have...
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You're telling me that, you know, what started in the early 90s and has now been perfected to the point where, I don't know when or pretty soon, they're going to determine what children can do. Basically, their future path will all be planned out in a planned economy all the way down to the individual person, what their life and what their life choices are going to be. It'll be planned right from the beginning, what they test, and their whole path will be decided by this big, huge transhuman Borg of ideas or computer or whatever, or AI. That's basically what you just said.
It's a managed economy. Exactly. It's a managed economy. That's basically what I'm saying. And they're starting at birth. Okay, so now we have this whole agenda. I think the test for children who were just born is called the ounce scale, particularly to monitor how the child behaves. And even like two.
Well, behaves what? Give us an example. Give us an example.
If your baby cries all the time, your baby is disruptive. Okay, so your baby's going to get a bad score. If you
might have colic. What if he has colic? What if the baby has colic?
Well, then he's not fit.
God, oh my. I had colic when I was little. I was not fit. I would not have made it in the UNC scale. Go ahead.
Well, you have to realize that it was under whenever Paul Ryan was just getting ready to leave the summit. And he was not only a rhino, he was a total traitor. And he implemented this system where all of the data systems in the whole entire country would be merged. And it was called for effective scientific procedures or whatever. So everything is cross-referenced now. So whatever they're collecting in the Department of Motor Vehicles is going to be transferred over to HHS, will be transferred over to the Department of Labor, will be transferred over to the Department of Education. So everything is merged.
So let me summarize. Go ahead. So what you're saying is? Anita, you still there? Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is it doesn't matter how smart you are. You could be really smart, but if you don't have the right attitudes and values and dispositions to go along with a new managed economy, you may not get that job. You may not get to go to college. You may not be able to drive if you have a mental health disorder. You may not ever own a gun. I mean, this is a way to control people. And this is what people have to understand with the data. The data collection can control what your future may be. So, I mean, let's go back to how, I mean, when you understand how this started, I mean, okay, so whenever Common Core first came out, then it came out under the Recovery Act, and billions of dollars were put into education. And this was under the Obama administration. So the first thing that he did was create flex waivers under Title I. Title I originally was meant for federal funds to help children learn how to read, and it was for underprivileged children. So basically what they said was these children were, quote-unquote, educationally deprived or at risk. So what did Obama do with Title I? Okay, so what he did was drop the poverty guidelines. You had to have 40% of free and reduced lunch in order to go to what they called a school-wide. So when Obama dropped the poverty guidelines, that meant an entire whole school became Title I, even if you were a millionaire. Okay. So what happened when all of the schools were looked at as poverty, entire whole programs could then blanket the school. And this is where the social and emotional and all the mental health was coming in. So, but the first thing we had to do was train the teachers. So what happened during that period of time, there was so much controversy. I don't know if you remember, like all the New York teachers were being furloughed. Everyone was being fired. All the traditional teachers were being pushed out of the system. If they were not using, quote unquote, if they weren't using effective training techniques, they were pushed out of the system and they were not rehired.
Yeah, my mother-in-law retired, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago. And she was talking about how she got out at the right time, she thought, and she could see it changing. See, she taught for 30 years. So when you talk to her, she can see where she started and where it ended and where it was going. And then she also talked to her friend who still worked in education after her, and they about ruined her. They about ruined that poor lady's life because exactly right. What you said, 100% what you're saying was my mother-in-law's experience. She saw it firsthand, 100% accurate. And she lived in, you know, BFE, Idaho. I mean, this wasn't New York or California. This was BFE, Idaho, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, Idaho's a hotbed. So the whole
why is that? Whoa. Why is Idaho a hotbed?
I don't know. There was some sort, a lot of governmental, what they call deliberative democracy going on in Idaho. And I've just read several different books about it. And it was just something that happened in Idaho. It was just the people who were in office.
Like they tested, they had a place where they could test them or it was something, or that they could, you know, project there or something. I don't know. Let me ask you another question while we're on the subject. We're going to run out of time. We need to have you on again. We need to have you on for 2 hours. But I have to ask this question, and I hate to cut off your train of thought, but I have to ask this question. The beginning of when you came on, you talked about citizenship and threshold, and when do you change behavior? How do we push and get to the point where we can change behavior in a child and therefore change their values or overcome their values to change their behavior? I want to ask specifically about that. In schools, is that what you're telling me, that they're analyzing the value system of children and then studying how they can overcome those values to then change behavior outside of that value system? Is that what they're doing, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're doing it. Okay, the teachers are being trained in the whole child concept. And the whole child concept means mind, body, spirit.
Oh, geez.
Head, heart, hand. Okay. It's not just head anymore. Okay. Head, heart, hand means you're going to monitor not only what's in their head, what they believe, their belief system. You believe 2 + 2 = 4, but you also believe Aunt Mary makes the best apple pie in the world, or you believe in God. Okay. So they're monitoring the head, the heart, feelings, attitude, your spiritual part, and hand, actions, your behavioral. So what teachers are being trained, they call it fidelity or implementation science. They are being trained to observe children. These are teachers now, not psychologists, not trained therapists, not psychiatrists. Teachers are monitoring these kids, and they are tallying marks of when the children either disobey. I mean, it could be anything. It could be scribbling on a piece of paper. It could be they're turned around in their seat. In fact, there's an app that they can use for their phone. It's called the BOSS app, B-O-S-S, Behavior Observation of Children in Schools, okay, that
BOSS
monitors every movement, on task, off task, silent when they're supposed to be doing their work. And the teachers are being pushed to monitor these kids' quote-unquote behavior. And what is behavior? Behavior is your mental health part. This is your action part, okay? So if they can control behavior, okay, through reward and punishment, and if you go back and read my article that I had written in News with Views, and it refers to the happy slave. Okay, and the whole agenda to the happy slave was it's a system of slavery so well designed that it does not breed revolt. And that's what we're talking about. And
oh, dear God. Dear God.
So while the system is school-wide, that means all the children get their dose. If some are worse, they go to tier two. So the universal design is everybody gets a little dose of Skinner. And if your child is going to continue to get up, talk back, turn around in his seat, you kick someone out in the playground, that's very aggressive behavior, then you're targeted for tier three interventions. So they call it interventions. Some of the words that parents need to review in their minds and keep notes of, it's called positive behavior, intervention and supports. Response to intervention.
What, Anita, what yes. Parents need to do is run as fast as they can.
Yes.
They need to run. I know some parents, look, we're going to talk about the rule, not the exception here. The rule should be if you have the ability, ladies and gentlemen, and I pray for you, and I feel for you, and I'm not trying to offend you in this. You need to run as fast as you can away from this God-cursed system. They are designed, they have designed a system to capture the divinity within your child and manipulate it to such a point to then serve their desires and to control, manipulate, and change the value system that you want for your children because it gets in the way of their planned economy. My God! What else do you need to know?
Well, and the system recycles, okay? If your child does not obey, they're going to be recycled, and it's all based on the data. And if they continue to do whatever the teachers are saying, the punishment will be incurred so that it will totally destroy the spirit of the child. This is why so many children are depressed. I mean, when you really think
Then the Ritalin. That's why they get them all on Ritalin.
Absolutely.
Now they're really easy to control. Okay, we got about 7 minutes. Not even 6 minutes. This is very important. Let me see where I marked this so I get this straight. Okay. You talked about measuring values and changing values. Obviously, people who are observant can see that school seems to be attacking Christian beliefs. And now in California, many other schools, the sexual education of 4- and 5-year-olds is damnable. Is my God, dear God, what are they doing? Why does it seem to be sexually moral teachings and Christian values seem to be the dead center bullseye of their target and what they try to root out the most? Is that wrong, or am I accurate in that assessment?
Well, the whole idea is that your parents teach you different values from the collectivist value. So your parents are teaching you individualistic values.
The Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. You ever heard that, ladies and gentlemen? Who you are, your endowment, the divinity within you. All those. Anyway, go ahead. Now you know why they don't teach the Bill of Rights. Now you know why I beg you to put it on your refrigerator. Go ahead, Anita.
Well, I mean, and this is a very sad state of affairs. So what they're doing is creating conflicts in your child's belief system. They're creating the curtain. I call it the tech curtain. It's when these teachers are out there creating these children who are little widgets on a factory. It's just absolutely abominable what they're doing to kids. Plus, these kids are being coded. So once they are coded, that's going to the federal government. That's not just at your local school. And I've written many, many articles about the state longitudinal data systems and how they connect to the federal system. Okay, so these codes, if your child has a DSM code, and this is really a far-out thing to say, and we probably do need to talk again, Daniel, these codes, the school will be able to eventually bill Medicaid under mental health.
Whoa.
Okay. So every school can get a partial hospitalization license, and they can.
Oh my God! All right, you're leading right into my next question. You're leading right into my next question. Very important. Why is it that schools, talk about behavior? They sure don't care about sexually deviant behavior. In fact, if you're 12 years old, you can get an abortion right in school. They'll take your right to get an abortion, and you'll be home for 4 o'clock, just like usual, at home to mommy and daddy. Why is that being pushed so hard? What does that have to do with all this?
Well, the whole agenda is more of a moral relativism. It's far, far from Christian attitudes of morality. So the whole agenda is to move the child to these universal values. I'm okay. You're okay. Okay. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter what you do. It's universal.
We got 1 minute. We got 2 minutes. And I go over this all the time. Anita, you're going to have to come on again. Educating for the New World Order, News with Views. You can see her articles, Anita Hodge. This has been awesome meeting you. I am just, I mean, it's very fitting we talked about Charlotte today. I'm sorry under those circumstances, but that you're here, you knew Charlotte, you're continuing what Charlotte did and what you have done. You're kind of carrying the torch now. I'm going to ask it again, maybe in a different way. I want you to take a minute or two to anybody, any parent who is listening, and can you please explain to me, is there anything you could, just about anything possible that you could do for your child more important than getting them out of these socialist hell holes?
Well, it's like I said, this system was put into place 5 years ago. Depending upon the teacher training, depends upon how far they are into these positive behavior intervention things. Okay, tier one, tier two, tier three. And this is all coming in under special ed, who these teachers are trained in applied behavioral analysis. Okay, so what we're talking about is changing your child's character. Do you want that? No.
I don't.
As a Christian nation, we need to get our kids out of the public school system. There is no way that you should leave. I mean, when this happened to me back in the 90s, my kids were out of there. Believe me.
Is this, there's the music. Turn that music down just a little bit. Keep it going, but just turn it down just a hair. Is this also about loyalty? See, if you're, you know, that's the big thing about Christianity. You know, communist nations, they won't even let you go to church. China won't even let children go to church anymore because it's a loyalty issue. Is your loyalty with the state or is your loyalty with God? Is it about that also? It's a loyalty issue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, basically we're going to wipe the slate clean from these kids. They will not know loyalty. They will only know obedience.
And situational morality, and do whatever you want and just obey and have, you know, whatever sexual deviancy you want, have an abortion, doesn't matter. That's what school is about. Now, you know, we had Bob in Kansas talk about America wants to repent. They want to repent? You want to repent of something, America? Get your kids out of school, your children.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.